Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive on a very rainy day here in Kansas City. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Carrington Harrison, Brandon Kiley on the ones and twos. To my right, it is the sports machine, Sean Levine. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing all right. You know how I told you yesterday that I got a new car, or a new car for me?
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to check if the windshield wipers work, but I found out today the answer is no. Tried driving down Ward Parkway this morning without windshield wipers. It sucked, and it was quite dangerous as well.
So I just want to fully understand.
I forgot to check the windshield wipers.
No, hold on. Let me understand.
I checked the lights. I checked under the hood.
So you bought this car?
Yeah, I bought the car.
Just straight cash, homie.
Yeah, it's the
Randy
new whip.
Moss.
Yes.
You didn't check to make sure that it had all the essentials, like the headlights work, the brakes work, the windshield wipers. That's a quick check. And that's something that me, and I don't know anything about cars, a very easy check. I'm not saying that you can change the oil or you got to know how to change four tires like you're working the NASCAR pit crew. You didn't know if the windshield wipers worked before you purchased the vehicle?
I turned the key. I kicked the tires. I gave the guy about $1,500 and I said, thanks for the new 2002 Honda Accord. But now I know. I don't have windshield wipers. It sucks.
Yeah, that's not good at all. That's not safe. I don't know if it's legal for him to sell you the car if the windshield wipers don't work, but that's neither here nor there. All right, we got a lot of stuff that we are doing in today's show. Sit down, grab a sheet of paper, write all this down. We are going to give you four chances to win $1,000 on our national cash contest at 2:30, 3:30, 4:30, and 5:30. You're going to have a chance to win a pair of Royals tickets during the pop quiz. You're also going to have four separate chances to win Royals tickets at 2:30, 3:30, 4:30, and 5:30. So after we do the national cash contest, we will play a sounder that will give you a chance to win a pair of Royals and Yankees tickets. If you want to see Danny Duffy go against the Yankees this Saturday on Jersey Day, you can do that courtesy of 610 Sports. And that's not it. We also have, now it come in, we have a pair of tickets today, tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday to see Disney's Aladdin.
Is that right?
We got a pair of tickets for every day for the next 4 days. We got a pair of tickets to see Aladdin. So if you want to go see Aladdin, all you got to do is keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio. But before we get things going, every day throughout the month of May, we're giving away a Royals replica 1985 World Series trophy at the top of the show. All you got to do is three things. Number one, you got to be listening at 2 o'clock and you got to tell one friend. Not two friends, but you got to tell one friend. Number two, you got to be calling number 6 to 913-576-7610. And number three, you got to tell Brandon Kiley to stay dry. If you do all three of those things, and you are the winner of a Royals replica 1985 World Series trophy, which makes a lot of sense because they are playing the St. Louis Cardinals.
That does make sense. And the Cardinals, a lot of people think, are a big rivalry for the Kansas City Royals. But see, I actually don't think that there are any more local rivalries, whether we're talking about baseball, basketball, or football. If you think about it, KU and MU were obviously a huge rivalry, but if you don't play each other, how can you still be a rival? KU and K-State, to me, it's been too one-sided. How can it be a rival if one team's always winning in football, the other team's always winning in basketball? And when it comes to the Chiefs have a lot of natural rivalries, of course, when it comes to Denver and Oakland, but I think everybody would agree that right now, the Chiefs' biggest rival is the Chargers. And I don't think the Royals have a rival at all. I don't think there's as many rivalries in baseball necessarily as there is in college and in other sports. But wouldn't you say that in general, there are no local rivalries like there used to be?
I actually strongly disagree that there's not any rivalries. I would still consider the Chiefs to have seemingly three rivals. I think the Chiefs and Raiders is a rivalry. It's not the way it was in the 90s when you and I were kids. But I think their rivalries are normally based in two things. They're either based in hate. I still think the Chiefs fans hate Raiders fans and Raiders fans hate Chiefs fans. And it's going to be that way between now and the end of time. I still think the Broncos and Chiefs fans don't like each other. I believe that the Chargers and the Chiefs rivalry is not based in hate, but it's based in competitiveness right now. Pro sports rivalries to me have always been different than college. College rivalries are forever. I don't care what conference Missouri is. I don't care what conference Kansas is in. Kansas is my favorite team's rival. It's going to be that way until the day that I die.
Even if they don't play.
That is the team that I will always deem to be Missouri's rival. Now, I can't speak for my children or their children who never seen them play, but I have enough memory and tied into Missouri and Kansas being their rival that those two will always be my rival. or it's based in competitiveness. Like, I would say right now, the Chiefs and the Patriots are a rival. I would say the same way that Colts and Patriots were in a football generation before us, whenever you had Brady going up against Manning, remember, they always played those Sunday night football. One team was 7-0, one team was 6-1, and you knew the winner of that game was going to have home field advantage in the AFC playoffs. I feel that's the way that Chiefs and Patriots have evolved, the same way that Patriots and Steelers became a rivalry where you knew that that game was going to be late in the season, the winner was going to have home field advantage. Chiefs and Patriots have evolved into that kind of rivalry. So I would just strongly disagree. It's not how it was in the 90s, but I firmly disagree that there are no longer rivalries locally here in Kansas City.
Well, you said competition and history, and I agree that's basically what makes up
and
a rivalry.
Hate factors in too. Like Chiefs and Raiders fans, like go out to a Chiefs and Raiders game at Arrowhead. Those two fan bases still strongly dislike each other. That's a rivalry.
It's not a rivalry the same way that Chiefs and Chargers are, though, because both teams are good because both teams are relevant. And to me, that's what makes up a rivalry. It's one thing to say, historically, it's the Chiefs and the Raiders. Historically, it's the Chiefs and the Broncos. We know that. But right now, wouldn't you say the Chiefs have two rivals, the Chargers and the Patriots? And the Chiefs and the Patriots is quickly becoming one of the better rivalries in the entire NFL.
I agree. Yeah, I agree with you.
I agree, too. I think that it's one of those rivalries that's going to keep growing as long as Tom Brady's there, but it's going to go away relatively quick. I think we're going to be talking about new rivalries in the AFC because you mentioned Manning in the past. The old hat when it comes to quarterbacks, Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning retired a couple of years ago. Tom Brady is going to be gone, so we're going to be talking about new rivalries. And I think within the next few years, we're going to be talking about the Chiefs and blank. It's not going to be the Chiefs and the Patriots. It's probably going to be in a weird way. Chiefs and Browns, Chiefs and Texans, teams like that going forward.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. I mean, I would say the same way that the Patriots have had a revolving door of rivalry, that they haven't had that rival in their division. They've had that rivalry outside of their division. I think that could potentially be the exact same way for the Chiefs. And whoever you are fighting to get home field advantage with, whoever you are fighting with to try to go to the Super Bowl, that's who's the rivalry for the Chiefs is going to be. Speaking of the Royals, since that's kind of the basis of this conversation, it's odd to me because I 100% believe that the Royals don't have a rival.
No.
I would say even in 2014, even in 2015, the Royals did not have a rival. That all their rivals were based up in individual people. Like at one point, Josh Donaldson was a rival to the Royals. At one point, Madison Bumgarner was a rival to the Royals. At one point, Brett Lowry was a rival to the Royals. I don't think we got to see the Royals and the Tigers ever fully evolve into a rivalry, or the Royals and the White Sox evolve into a rivalry, or the Royals and Twins, or the Royals and Indians. The Royals weren't good enough, and while they were good, those same teams maybe weren't competing with them at the exact same level. I don't think that the Yankees and Royals rivalry exists anymore. Maybe it does for a past generation and a couple years older. I don't know if for our age and maybe a little bit older than us, I don't know if the Royals and Yankees rivalry really holds that much.
Because the Royals weren't good enough for a long enough period of time. This most recent Royals run, back in the day, the Royals and the A's were a huge rival. Back in the day, in our dad's day, the Royals and the Yankees were a huge rival. But this most recent team, this Hosmer, Kane, Moose, Eske squad, they were only really good for a 4 or 5 year period of time. Therefore, it's tough to kind of have a bunch of rivalries. I think that if they would have continued and kept the band together, you could have said the Royals and maybe the Astros was about to become a rivalry, but I don't think they kept the band together long enough for that team to create a rival.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I just look at the Cardinals and I kind of look at maybe the rivalry that exists between those two teams, and they just haven't played any important games since I've been alive. Aside from 2013 when the Royals were starting the trend towards 2014 and 2015, 2014 and 2015 when both teams were good, the Royals and Cardinals just haven't played a lot of meaningful games. Like, the Cardinals have done their part. They've been consistent. They've been one of the well-run organizations in Major League Baseball. The Royals, it's been either really hot like they were in 2014 and 2015 or extremely cold like it is right now. I just don't know how, if you can consider that a rivalry, given the fact of at most you play them 6 times a year, and very rarely are both teams good when you play it.
I'm surprised to hear you say that and the other side of your mouth say that you think KU and MU is always going to be a rival and always going to be the biggest rival considering they don't play each other.
College is just different to me than pro sports. Pro sports to me, just the goal, everyone is on the same page. I think it's different. In college football, Alabama and Auburn are always going to be rivals. Like, I don't care what happens. Alabama and Auburn always going to be the Iron Bowl. Those two teams are always going to live right next to each other, and they're going to have to work alongside each other. I don't know many Cardinals fans. Like, I don't live next to a lot of Cardinals fans. Maybe it would be a bigger rivalry. I just think that sometimes we kind of confuse college rivalries, which I think are forever. And, you know, you go to the school, your son goes to the school, your grandkids go to the school. It's generations of it where I think pro sports rivalries change. Again, it wasn't too long ago that San Francisco-Seattle was the biggest rivalry in the NFL. Back when Kaepernick was playing at a high level, Russell Wilson was just starting to emerge. Those two teams were fighting for AFC, NFC championship. They were fighting to be the best teams in the NFL. that was a rivalry. That rivalry died, and now we've given birth to different rivalries. College is just completely different to me than pros, so I just wouldn't confuse the fact of those things with the pro sports.
But when it comes to our local college teams, I actually think there's an argument to be made that none of them have a rival anymore. On the basketball court, KU's biggest rival is not K-State. It's probably Iowa State. On the football field, how can you say K-State's biggest rival is KU, a team that's won, what, six games since the Nixon administration? And how can you say that MU's biggest rival is a team that they don't play? I think the argument actually is that pro sports have rivalries that are always going to be there as long as the teams stay in the said cities. When it comes to college basketball, especially with conference realignment a few years ago, rivalries just aren't what they used to be.
Yeah, we just disagree. Like, I think the rivalry is just always going to be there. At least from Missouri side. I can't speak for KU side. I'm not a KU fan. Missouri fans, it ain't dying no time soon. That's the team I hate the most. I have no hatred towards South Carolina, no hatred towards Georgia, no hatred towards Tennessee. They just haven't played them long enough for me to develop any hatred. I grew up hating Kansas. That didn't just stop in 2011. Like, they're fine. That's not how I feel. I can't speak for how any other Missouri fan feels. I will always hate Kansas. That's my team's rival.
When do you think they're going to renew that? Because we're talking about it's been so long now. Doesn't it just feel childish at this point? Doesn't it feel like, okay, let's get to the table, the people that are important, and actually get these teams playing again? Because, as you mentioned, that's one of the better rivalries, not just in college, but in all of sports. You had the natural geographical rivalry, the fact that they played in the same conference. To me, they need to bring that back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying this thing for 7 years. I mean, I feel like I'm the only one that feels this
way. But doesn't it feel like we've come around to, come on, let's get the important people to the table and let's have KU and MU playing like next year on the football field?
I wouldn't say the important people. One side wants to play each other. You got to tell your side. I mean, MU's made it pretty clear they want to play Kansas. You got to convince Bill Self to want to play Missouri.
I'm doing my best.
I mean, that's really the issue now at this point. Coming up in 20 minutes, we will give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. Plus, we will give you a chance to win a pair of Royals and Yankees tickets, so keep it locked in. Up next, Gerald McCoy is likely heading to an AFC contender, and you should be afraid, very afraid. We'll talk about it next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in about 15 minutes. We will give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest, and we will give away a pair of Royals tickets to Royals and Yankees, so just keep it locked in. The Royals are playing the Cardinals this week, and you don't think that there is a rivalry in... I don't want to put the words in your mouth. You don't think there is a local rivalry that is relevant any longer?
No, because KU and MU don't play each other, so I don't see how you could have a real big local rivalry with the two local teams not playing each other. K-State and KU in the past has been a rivalry, but if KU wins every time they play on the basketball court and K-State wins 99% of the times they play on the football field, that's not a rivalry. I don't think the Chiefs have a rival the same way that they naturally did. Now, I'm not saying that every time the Chiefs and the Raiders don't get together, it's a big deal, or the Chiefs play the Broncos. That's obviously going to be a big deal because of all the hate from the past. But when you talk about relevancy, both teams being good, both teams having a chance to actually go somewhere, it hasn't been that way in years. Either the Broncos have been up and the Chiefs have been down, or the Chiefs have been up and the Raiders have been down. And when it comes to the Royals, I agree with you. I guess we can say the Royals and the Cardinals is a rivalry just because they don't have another one.
Yeah, I mean, and this is a topic that we just disagree on. And I can only speak from one perspective. I'm not a KU fan. I try not to speak for KU fans. BK and I cheer for Missouri. Missouri's rival is Kansas. I don't care if they don't play each other this year or next year or the year after. The team I hate most, more than I hate Georgia, more than I hate South Carolina. So what we're saying is they don't play each other, they can't be rivals. Okay, that's cool. That's from Kansas' perspective. That's not from Missouri's perspective, and I don't think that those two feelings are equal. On the text line 69306, free agency has killed rivalries in the pros. That's why the Raiders are not biggest rival anymore. It's too much carryover between teams. That's not why the Chiefs and Raiders rivalry died. The Raiders stink. If the Raiders were good... And the Chiefs have been good over the last 10, 15 years fighting for playoffs, and every year at the end of the season they were meeting up and it was a big, important game, then the Chiefs and Raiders rivalry would be one of the best rivalries in the NFL. They haven't played, like, think about it. Over the last 10 years, how many games would you say that the Chiefs and Raiders played where you thought that game was important? That you thought that game mattered? Because if I ask you that question about the Broncos, we all can think of a game off the top of our head. Chiefs were 9-0. Broncos were 8-1. They played each other on Sunday Night Football. The first game, home opener, Thursday Night Football, Jamal Charles fumbled, Mahomes, Monday Night Football game. Like, I can tell you games of which the Chiefs and Broncos have played in which we would quote-unquote deem them important. I can't tell you the last time the Chiefs and Raiders played a game that was important.
That's why it's the Chiefs and the Chargers now. I mean, I think that game one last year when Patrick Mahomes, we got to see him play for really the first time for real – That was already a rivalry game because we knew both teams had a chance to go places. Same thing with when the Chargers came to Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs. That was a rivalry game. When those two teams meet up next year twice, that's going to be rivalry games because both teams, to me, there's some criteria when it makes up a rivalry. You have to play the teams. You have to play the team somewhat frequently. Geographical or playing the same division makes sense. And most importantly, both teams have to be good. That's why the Chiefs and the Raiders aren't necessarily a rivalry like they used to be, the same way that the Chiefs and the Chargers or the Chiefs and the Patriots are right now.
So your qualification of both teams have to be good. So you think the Chiefs and – you think the KU and Missouri wasn't a rivalry because Missouri wasn't at Kansas' level in basketball?
No, I think – because no, absolutely not. And I don't think that – if we were talking about that particular rivalry, I'd say MU had the edge on the football field historically and KU had the edge on the basketball court. But it's not like either team didn't win sometimes. In the case of KU and K-State, look at the numbers. It's like – 30 out of the last 35 times KU's beat them on the basketball court, and same thing vice versa on the football field. You can't have a rivalry if one team's winning all the games.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest, and we'll give you a chance to win a pair of Royals and Yankees tickets. Go ahead and keep it locked in. Gerald McCoy was cut yesterday from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he could end up in the AFC.
Even when the Buccaneers were trying to trade McCoy, that the Browns had interest, but at that number, they've already got so much money invested in that defensive line, that was too steep. But now that they might be able to get him at a reduced price, think about that. Myles Garrett, Olivier Vernon, Sheldon Richardson, Larry Ogunjobi, and now possibly Gerald McCoy. That would be a ridiculous front up in Cleveland. They've already got a stacked team, but they're going to have some competition. We know the Patriots are one of the teams we've heard that could possibly be in on McCoy. And maybe at this point of his career, with all this losing, he wants to go to a team that could get him to the Super Bowl. Another team to look out for is the Los Angeles Chargers. Even though they drafted Jerry Tillery to play along Brandon Mebane at the defensive interior, they really shuffle around their defensive tackles in a lot of their pass rush situations. Gerald McCoy would be stalwart. And again, Bosa, Tillery, McCoy, Melvin Ingram. Oh, Patrick Mahomes, he could still be the MVP, but with those facing that front four, oh my goodness, there's a lot of stuff that could happen. And Gerald McCoy, again, he's going to be a hot target. We'll see how quickly this gets done, but there will be competition for his service.
So, Gerald McCoy, longtime Tampa Bay defensive lineman, one of the better defensive linemen in the NFL for a lot of years. That was Steve Weisch of NFL Network. I want to read you the teams in which he just said that Gerald McCoy could be a possible landing spot for. The Cleveland Browns, we agree, one of the teams who have improved most this offseason, a team that you would think, in theory, Kansas City has to go to if they want to go to their first Super Bowl in over 40 years. The New England Patriots, the team that beat the Chiefs twice last year, the team that came in here in the AFC Championship game and beat the Kansas City Chiefs to win their sixth Super Bowl under Tom Brady. The Los Angeles Chargers, your biggest rival in the division. Am I the only one that's seeing what's happening here? These teams are gearing up for the inevitable. If you're a team in the AFC and you know that you want to go to the Super Bowl or you think you got a roster good enough, you know who you need to be thinking about? Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. That if you are not preparing for the inevitability of having to play the Kansas City Chiefs and the challenge of slowing down Patrick Mahomes' offense, you have no chance of beating him. That's what Cleveland's been doing this offseason. That's what the Patriots have been doing this offseason. That's what the Chargers are trying to do. Like, don't we all see that these teams are preparing for the battle of trying to stop the Chiefs' offense?
There's seven teams that I think they think have a chance from the AFC to get to the Super Bowl. That's Kansas City, New England, the Chargers, Cleveland, Houston, Indy, and Pittsburgh. It's scary to think that the three teams that he mentioned are the Chargers, Cleveland, and New England, because to me, as you mentioned, those are the three biggest threats to the Chiefs. And even though I think the Chiefs are the best team, there's not that big of a gap between them and those other teams where if they start adding players like Gerald McCoy, if he goes to Cleveland, if he goes to Los Angeles, all of a sudden that really tips the power of balance. And then maybe all of a sudden you're talking about them being the favorites in the AFC over the Chiefs. That's how good of a player he is and important of a position he plays.
I just look at these two teams, these three teams, and I look at the moves that Cleveland has made. Cleveland has been trying to get more dynamic offensively. You go pick up Kareem Hunt. You go pick up Odell Beckham. That if you have to get in a shootout with Kansas City, you need the weapons to do it. The teams that got in shootouts with the Chiefs are New England. The teams that got in shootouts with them are the Rams. Teams that have the offensive firepower or the ability to win those kind of games because we saw them do it. Or you need to heavily invest in defensive line, like I think we've seen the Patriots do this offseason. You go get Michael Bennett, you make a couple moves in the draft picture, now in the mix to go get Gerald McCoy, and you convince him, hey, I know it's been rough playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll give you a chance to win a Super Bowl. Come play with Brady, come play with Belichick, get yourself a chance to win a ring. With Cleveland, they clearly have been investing in defensive linemen. They have completely solidified that defense and pass rush. And then they've gone out and they've got really solid corners. You go get Denzel Ward last year. You make a move to go get Greedy Williams. Like, these two teams are loading up on defensive linemen and cornerbacks for one reason. If you are going to win the AFC, you need to be able to slow down Patrick Mahomes. These teams are gearing up to beat the Chiefs.
So you don't think these teams are just doing what they can to get better and improve their roster? You think they're actually looking at Kansas City as far and away the best team, the team that's going to be the most difficult to beat, and they have to build their roster to specifically beat the Chiefs and Pat?
I think if you are an NBA team and you're not thinking, how can we slow down Steph Curry if you got a chance, you're not thinking properly. Like, that's what you're going to do. At some point, you are going to be faced with, if we want to win the NBA championship, we got to find a way to either outshoot Golden State, which is not possible, or we got to find a way to guard their best players. If you are a team in the AFC and you're not thinking to yourself, we got to either do one of two things. We have to be prepared to win a shootout with the Kansas City Chiefs, or we got to be prepared to try to win a 27-24 game. We got to be sure we got our defensive backs in order. We got to be sure that we can get pass rush on Patrick Mahomes. Then you are not thinking properly. The Chiefs appear to be the team geared up that is next to take the throne after New England and after Tom Brady and be in a prime position to win Super Bowls over the next 10 years. If you are not thinking that way, you are not building your team properly, in my mind.
I think the Chargers have kind of started to do that the last couple of years, trying to build a team to beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. And this offseason, the team that I see what you're talking about the most is Cleveland. You can tell. You add Odell Beckham, you add Kareem Hunt. What they're trying to do is become the Chiefs of the North, where if the Chiefs are going to score 35, they're going to score 36 and beat them, because there's really only one way to beat this team. I think no matter how talented your defense is, this offense is transcendently too good, and they're still going to beat you, that you have to load your team up with offensive weapons like we've seen, because all these teams we keep talking about literally have the best quarterbacks in the league. KC with obviously Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady and Andrew Luck and Baker Mayfield. In the AFC, it's kind of the haves and the have-nots. If you have a quarterback, you have a chance. If you don't, you don't.
Text line 69306, why don't we make a play for Gerald McCoy? Another text, why in the hell don't the Chiefs go get McCoy? I don't know if the Chiefs can invest too much more in their defensive line than they have. Think about this offseason. They've done a lot of investing. Now, I'm not saying I wouldn't be interested in Gerald McCoy.
And they do have the money. In theory, they could do it.
Yeah, I mean, I would call him. I would find out what the number is if you want Gerald McCoy. But think about the resources they've placed into the defensive line so far. They traded a first-round draft pick and a future second-round draft pick for Frank Clark, who plays on the defensive line.
Yeah.
They are about to give Chris Jones top five biggest defensive contract in the history of the NFL, plays on the defensive line. You sign Alex Okafor to a two-year deal. You trade for Emmanuel Ogba. You draft Colin Saunders. You got Breland Speaks. You have Derek Nnadi. You have Xavier Williams. Like, the Chiefs have a lot invested in their defensive line. Now, am I saying that should 100%, because you got Alex Okafor, that should take you out of the Gerald McCoy sweepstakes? No. But I don't know where he fits in with this defense, given the resources that they've already spent. I don't know if they need Gerald McCoy because of how much they spent on their defensive line.
The scary thought is, though, what if he ends up with the Chargers? And all of a sudden, we're already talking about a division that's paper thin when it comes to talent. Last year, both teams were 12-4. Last teams both beat each other on the opposing field. If the Chargers were to add Gerald McCoy, basically what I'm saying is the Chiefs, if they knew the Chargers were about to add him, should probably make a move for him just to stop that, because all of a sudden they become a more talented defense than they already are.
I just look at these three teams. I think all of them are bad for the Chiefs. Now, they're different degrees of bad. Obviously, the Chargers would be worse because you play them twice. Cleveland, it would be bad. The Patriots, it would be bad. The Chargers, it would be bad.
They're the three worst teams he could possibly land with. I'd say the Chargers would be the worst, followed by New England and then Cleveland.
If he goes to any of these other teams, I think you're fine. Those three teams, I don't think you want Gerald McCoy. I still think he has some good football left. I think he can add to a team. And I would say, like Ndamukong Suh last year with the Rams, he provides that toughness. That could be the thing that potentially gets you over the hump. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest, so keep it locked in. Plus, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of Royals and Yankees tickets right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up in just a little bit, we will all take a minute. Plus, we will give you a chance to win another pair of Royals tickets in a 610 Saturday game this Saturday against the New York Yankees. Some breaking news. Tonight's Royals game has been postponed. There will be a doubleheader tomorrow against the St. Louis Cardinals. So if you were planning on making that drive to St. Louis, or you had your evening plans wrapped around the Kansas City Royals,
sorry.
Your evening is now open. They are not playing today against the hated St. Louis Cardinals. But here's your chance to win 1,000 on the 30s in the National Cash Contest. Text the word volume, V-O-L-U-M-E, volume, to 72881. That's volume. If you want Chiefs talk and a chance to win 1,000 on the 30s, where there's only one station in Kansas City giving you both, weekdays, 7A to 7P. It pays listen to the largest sports radio company in the world. Message and data rates may apply. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour, but why not go ahead and win right now? One more time for those of you in the back that are keeping score. Volume, V-O-L-U-M-E. Volume, V-O-L-U-M-E. Text the word volume to 72881.
Let's keep giving stuff away right now. Caller number 6 and number 7. Win a pair of tickets to Saturday's game versus the Yankees. Dial us up at 913-576-7610 if you want to go see the Royals and the Yankees on Saturday for a 610 Saturday.
Coming up in just a little bit, we will all take a minute. Plus, we'll give you another chance to win a pair of tickets to a 6-10 Saturday Royals against the Yankees. So if you miss out right now, you're not caller number 6 or caller number 7, keep it locked in right here, and we will give you another chance to win a pair of 6-10 Saturday Royals and Yankees. We'll be giving tickets away at 2:30, 3:30, 4:30, and 5:30. And in the 5 o'clock hour today, we're giving away a pair of tickets to see Aladdin. So if you want to see the Disney live-action movie Aladdin, we'll be giving those tickets away at 5 o'clock.
I do want to see the movie Aladdin. I'm looking forward to that. What do you think is the best rivalry, just out of curiosity, in sports right now? Because guess what? I came up with a Levine's list. Here you go. I got Celtics, Lakers, Nadal, Federer, USC, Notre Dame, Texas, Oklahoma, Pacquiao, Mayweather. Here's my top five. Army, Navy, Auburn, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, UNC, Duke. And I still think the best rivalry in sports is Yankees and Red Sox. Tell me what I missed.
I would say Auburn and Alabama would probably be at the top of my list, and Duke, North Carolina. I think when you think about the history, when you think about the players that consistently play in the game, the coaches, how invested both programs are into it, I would say those are my two favorite rivalries so far.
So you think college rivalries are better than pro rivalries in general?
Yeah, they're consistent. Like,
I mean, I'm with you.
Yeah, and pro rivalries are not consistent. Like, Packers and Bears is not a consistent rivalry to the rest of us. Chiefs and Raiders is not a consistent rivalry. College rivalries are forever. I think pro rivalries are based on who's good. So if the Chiefs and Raiders haven't both been good in 15 years, the rivalry kind of dies for the rest of us, where Duke's always good at basketball, Carolina's always good at basketball, Duke always has their stars, Carolina always has their stars. That's a consistent thing year in and year out.
Yeah, both things have to be really good, like Chicago versus Deep Dish Pizza, right? That's a rivalry. Pepsi versus Coke, that's a rivalry. Cats versus dogs, that's a rivalry. I don't think necessarily that KU and K-State is a rivalry, because KU always beats them in basketball and K-State always beats them in football. I don't think KU and MU is necessarily a rivalry because, well, they don't play each other. I'm not sure we have any big local rivalries left.
Yeah, I don't know if I consider that's not why KU and K-State's a rivalry. I just think it's very difficult for a college to have two separate rivals. Like, Michigan's rival is Ohio State. I'm not saying that they don't hate Michigan State or there's not a back and forth, but that's their rival. I think KU, their rival is Missouri, and there's not the hatred that appears for Missouri that appears for Kansas State.
Jerry and Newman, that's a rivalry. The Capulets and the Montagues, is that how you say that? That's a rivalry.
I don't know who anything you just said. It's like you're speaking another language.
You,
I don't know what
you
you're talking
about. You did go to
about.
School, right?
Yeah, I did.
You did pass sixth grade?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Okay, just double checking.
I still have no clue who that is.
Fair enough. I just don't think that there are local rivalries like there used to be.
Shakespeare. See that? It's Shakespeare.
Yeah, I still don't know. Thank you. Completely honest. I don't know what book it's in. Is that Othello? Is that Hamlet? Is that Romeo versus Juliet?
I don't know which one it is.
I mean, Shakespeare's the person.
I think it is Romeo and Juliet. I think it's Romeo and Juliet.
Shakespeare. But I mean, that's not. Did you go past sixth grade? Goodness gracious.
Barely. That's all I got. BK, Tinder time.
Let's get into a Tinder Tuesday here on The Drive. The object is simple. If you swipe right, that means you like it. If you swipe left, that means you don't like it. These are very simple statements. We will make them, and then you guys tell me if you like it or you dislike it. Swipe right for a like, swipe left for a dislike. CDOT, this is the first one. The Chiefs are going to win the AFC West again in 2019.
I'll swipe right for a like. I think the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC West. I think the Chargers are a good team. I think the Chargers win double-digit games. The Chiefs just win more games than them. I think they have the better coach, the better quarterback. I think that's enough to win this division. Put me down for the Chiefs winning 11 games, and I'll put the Chargers down to win 10 games. I will take the Chiefs to win the AFC West.
They were both 12-4 a year ago. They each beat each other on the other team's field. You're talking about two of the elite quarterbacks. I still think Phillip Rivers is a top 5-7 quarterback in the league this season, and then he probably starts to fall off. Vegas tells me that the Chiefs are a 10.5 win football team. The Chargers are a 10 win football team. The Chiefs have won the division a few years in a row now. I think they're going to do it again. I'm swiping to the right. I think the Chiefs win 12 games and win the West.
Second statement for you guys on a Tinder Tuesday here on The Drive. Swipe right for a like, swipe left for a no. Adalberto Mondesi will be an all-star this season.
I'll swipe left for no on him being an all-star this season. I'm not going to lie to you. You could probably make a really good case between Adalberto Mondesi, Whit Merrifield, and Hunter Dozier. I'll say no because I think Whit Merrifield deserves to be the all-star representative for the team. If they're only going to get one, and they only deserve one given their record, that person should be Whit Merrifield. He probably should have went last year, but Salvador Perez got there based off name recognition. I'll say that no, Whit Merrifield should be an all-star this year.
They deserve more than one. It's not a team award. It's an individual award, and Hunter Dozier has played at an all-star level. So has Whit. So has Alex Gordon. But I'm swiping to the right. I do think they're only going to end up with one because they're the Royals, and unfortunately, it's a fan vote. That's how you get into the all-star game, and the Royals just don't have as many fans as the big markets do. But I do think that Adalberto Mondesi is going to be the Royals representative. I'm swiping to the right.
I mean, let's be honest. If they didn't have the rule, the Royals would get zero people in the All-Star
but
game.
But let's be honest again, then if they played in a bigger market, the Royals would probably get two or three guys in. Individually, these guys are having all-star type seasons. The team just sucks.
It's also been a really good year for shortstops in the American League. There's just a lot of guys that are having a really good season. Jorge Polanco's batting .335 with a .992 OPS for the Twins this year. By the way, Twins, one of the biggest surprises of this early
MLB
season.
Twins are 31-16. Who knew?
Yeah, they're pretty good. Twitter Tinder Tuesday right here on the Drive. Swipe right for a yes, swipe left for a no. Travis Kelce is going to be a Hall of Famer, CDOT. Swiping right or left?
I mean, based on the information we have right now, I'm going to swipe left that no, one day he will not be in the Hall of Fame. Sometimes I think Sean underestimates how hard it is to be in the
Put
Pro Football Hall of Fame and how good and how long. Like, I remember having this conversation with 2 years ago where you were 100% that Eric Berry was heading to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that wasn't my
And I kept
moment.
Saying, no, he's not going to the Hall of Fame. You kept calling me crazy for thinking it. Travis Kelce has been really good. I mean, I would say out of this generation, the only surefire Hall of Fame tight end has been Rob Gronkowski, and Jason Witten probably only going to get in because he played for the Cowboys. That's it. It's just really, really hard to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I look at somebody like Jimmy Graham, who is probably as good as Kelce is right now. I mean, at the end of the career, he's fell off. He's not going to the Hall of Fame. Based on what we have right now, I would say no, Travis Kelce will not make the Hall of Fame one.
Yeah, I'm going to take the opposite end of that argument. Surprise, surprise. I do think that he ends up in the Hall of Fame if he continues at this trajectory and if he continues playing with Patrick Mahomes. And another big if Andy Reid continues to be his head coach. And for the next 4 or 5 years, I assume they're going to work out his contract at the end of next year. And Travis Kelce will be in a Chiefs uniform in his prime. He's definitely on a pace right now if he has a couple of more 100-catch seasons. He's one of the elite tight ends in the game right now. And to make it to the Hall of Fame, you have to be one of the two or three best players at your position for a long period of time. And I would say Travis Kelce is and will be for the next few years. So it's probably going to take three or four more 100-catch type seasons, 1,000-yard, 10-touchdown type seasons. But yes, I'm swiping to the right. Travis Kelce one day will be in the Hall of Fame.
I just think you're underestimating how hard it is to put together four more seasons like Travis Kelce is doing. That means you think he's going to have a 7-year run of having 80 catches, 1,000 yards. That's just a really hard, like, only two people all time have done that before, Rob Gronkowski and Tony Gonzalez. Like, if you think he's that, then yeah, he's going in the Hall of Fame. I think that's just way harder than you're giving it.
Yeah, that is what I think he is. I do think he's on the same trajectory as a Tony Gonzalez.
It's a Tender Tuesday here on the Drive. Swipe right for a like, swipe left for a no. See now the next one for you. Brooks Koepka will win another major title this year. Swiping right or left?
I could probably name six people that play golf. I don't know. I'll swipe right because I feel like that's what I should do here because he's arguably the best golfer in the world. I don't know, bro.
I'm swiping to the left. There's no way. It's incredibly difficult to win a major. You could have said any name. You could have said Tiger Woods. You could have said Phil. You could have said Rory. You could have said anybody, and I'd swipe to the left just because it's difficult to do. Even though he's won, what, three out of the last seven majors? Is that right?
Four of the last eight, yep.
Four of the last eight majors. But no, I'm swiping to the left.
I believe right now I'm going to have to check on the odds for the updated version, but last time I checked, it was 5-1 for him to win the U.S. Open.
That's
which
it?
Is pretty incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, that's like Tiger peak odds for Brooks Koepka to win. It's a Tender Tuesday here on the Drive. Swipe right for a like, swipe left for a no. CDOT, Darkwing Duck is the most underrated cartoon of all time.
Ooh, he loves right Darkwing Duck.
I'm going to swipe left on this. It's not the most underrated cartoon of all time. Darkwing Duck, I don't remember anything about the show other than the intro. Now, the intro is incredible.
Darkwing Duck.
I have no clue what the show is about going back to it. I don't even know if I watched the show aside from the intro. The intro is amazing, but no, I'm not going to go Darkwing Duck as the most underrated cartoon of all time. I will nominate Bobby's World as the most underrated cartoon
Ooh,
of all time.
Ooh, I didn't see that coming. I will nominate Camp Candy, John Candy's cartoon, as the most underrated. Bobby's World is a great call. but neither one of them were better than Darkwing Duck. Yes, I'm using my super swipe for this one. Darkwing Duck is the most. By the way, you don't know what Darkwing Duck's about?
I know he's like a detective.
But yeah, he's a detective duck, he's basically the Superman of ducks.
That's all I know.
Yes, I'm swiping hard to the right.
Like, I don't remember any episode, any storyline. I just remember the theme song. I could probably sing it from start. I have no clue what the show's about.
Darkwing Duck.
Last one for you guys on a Tender Tuesday here on The Drive. Patrick Mahomes should be a first-round pick in your fantasy draft. He's swiping right for a like or left for a no.
This is how I know, and it makes a lot of sense, why Sean has been losing in his fantasy football leagues. If he's taking a quarterback with the number one overall pick, no, Mahomes should not be your number one pick.
Are you talking smack on my fantasy team, the Manute Militia, named after the late, great Manute Bull?
You're going to take a quarterback number one overall?
Yes.
No, that's a terrible
decision. Are you really going to?
Yes.
That's a terrible decision.
If I get the number one pick, really yes, I am absolutely taking Mahomes with the number one pick.
Time out. The number one overall pick?
Yes. Not just a first round pick, the number one overall pick. Yes, I'm taking Patrick Mahomes. First of all, you don't know the value of the quarterback in my league. The league that ruled the world is what it's called.
Okay, well, we're using the standard method.
Yeah, standard scoring.
Not just maybe your league is different. Everyone else's league, you should not take Mahomes first overall in your league. No.
If we're talking just quarterbacks, it's really obvious. And yes, I'm taking him first overall, period. End of story.
What's the big difference between Mahomes and Andrew Luck from a fantasy perspective this year?
12 touchdowns and 1,000 yards.
You think this season? This upcoming, not last year, this season.
I do think he's going to have, it's tough to predict, but I'm going to say he has a half dozen more touchdowns and a couple hundred more yards. I think that he's a better quarterback, therefore I would take him ahead of him.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just saying is
better quarterback, but the difference between like the really great running backs and the average running backs is way bigger than the difference between the really great quarterbacks and the average quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, no one disagrees with you that Mahomes is better than Andrew Luck. I'm on your side. I'm just saying is the value in which I could get Andrew Luck and the value you're placing on Mahomes in fantasy, I'd much rather have Andrew Luck and just take the best running back available.
Aaron Rodgers is the only other quarterback that I would contemplate taking right now over Patrick Mahomes, and I'm still taking Pat with the first pick.
We're talking fantasy, right?
Yeah, we're talking fantasy.
I know. Sometimes I think you confuse the real life and the other one.
I know we're talking fantasy.
Okay, I'm just making it.
Thank you for clarifying.
Because I'm just saying, because one time you said Matt Ryan was the top five fantasy. You're like, he should be 19. Well, he threw 40 touchdowns last year with 6 interceptions. He'd be a really good quarterback to have on your fantasy team. Coming up in a little bit, we will all take a minute. Plus, Patrick Mahomes thinks he could throw a football 100 yards. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Well, let's go.
Give me a minute.
You are officially on the clock.
Back in on The Drive, if you missed it, the Royals and Cardinals game has been postponed for tonight. The Royals have announced their corresponding move. A lot of people thought that move could be Bubba Starling. They have announced what it is. So Heath Philmeyer down, Kevin McCarthy up. As the corresponding move, they can't have a 26th man for tomorrow's doubleheader. They have yet to announce who that is. They have announced the starters for tomorrow's game. Brad Keller going in game one, Homer Bailey going in game two as the Royals take on the Cardinals in St. Louis. Hopefully it is a lot more dry than it is today, but that is all your Royals news and notes. Coming up in just a little bit, Patrick Mahomes thinks that he is Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. Plus, we'll give you another chance to win a pair of Royals and Yankees tickets for a 6:10 Saturday. But right now, it is Give Us a Minute, brought to you by Airport Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Hit it, BK. I always tell people, before you engage in any business, legal or illegal, you should do two things. Number one, you should listen to Biggie's 10 Crack Commandments because the lessons that he employs in that song could benefit you for any business. And number two, you should watch The Wire because The Wire has great business. One thing I love what they said in The Wire is one of their rules were we don't talk shop in the car and we don't talk to anybody who ain't us. Magic Johnson was on First Take spilling all the tea with the Los Angeles Lakers. Magic, I keep hearing you say that you want what's best for the Lakers organization and how much you love Jeannie Buss. Well, why are you going on First Take to put down the general manager of the Los Angeles Lakers? You don't think that has an effect? You don't think that Kyrie Irving or Kawhi Leonard hear what's going on and think that's an environment and situation they don't want to be a part of? Magic, you're supposed to be an ambassador for the Lakers, not somebody that tears them down. Magic, watch The Wire. That's my minute for the day.
Which one of the 10 crack commandments was never get high on your own supply? Number 4,
mm-hmm.
I believe.
Number four, know you heard this before. Never get high on your own supply.
Yeah, there we go.
That's how the song goes. I can quote all of them.
You probably shouldn't.
That's though. A very important
you
lesson.
Probably shouldn't if you want to keep your job. BK, can I get a minute? I think the Warriors are proving that they're the best team, not just now, but they're the best team in our lifetime. Not just the best basketball team, but the best team in our lifetime. And let's not pretend like the Milwaukee Bucks or Raptors are going to give them any sort of a chance, because they absolutely are not.
You don't think the Bucks have any chance of beating the Warriors?
No. I think it's going to be a 4, maybe a 5-game series, the same way that we just saw against Portland.
I'll take whatever you want that the Bucks don't get swept.
We'll whatever bet that Chipotle
whatever,
burrito.
Whatever odds you want to give me that the Bucks don't get swept in this, then I'll take that bet.
And I think that for the next 3 or 4 years, as long as they re-sign Klay, they've got a chance to win more championships. And the Kevin Durant ship has absolutely sailed. This team is so talented that they can have Kevin Durant on their bench, DeMarcus Cousins on their bench, which are probably two of the top 10, 12 best players in the entire NBA. And they're still by far the most talented and best team in the league, and they're going to be as long as they re-sign Klay Thompson. I think they would mop the Bulls. I think they're better than the Bulls. I think they're better than the Spurs. I think they're better than all these other teams that we always talk about. I think they'd do the same thing to LeBron's Heat. I think that they're just too talented of a basketball team, and I think there's an argument to be made that they're more talented than the Patriots. They're more talented than any team you can come up with in our entire lifetime, and the best team, and I think that everybody's going to agree with that 2 or 3 years from now when they've got 6 or 7 championships.
I'm surprised you think they would mop the Bulls. Very surprised.
They would mop the Bulls. I think they'd destroy the Bulls. When it comes to basketball, I think that it's Golden State and then everybody else, including Jordan, including whatever team you want to throw out there, the Spurs.
Interesting.
Yeah, pretty big gap, too.
There's a really cool story going on right now in the NHL. As the playoffs are continuing, the Blues are one win away from making their first Stanley Cup final in 50 years. And there's a fan that has a lot riding on this. Earlier this year, the Blues were actually the worst team in the NHL. This was as recently as January. One Blues fan found himself in Las Vegas. He went to a casino. He found that the Blues were 250-1 to win the Stanley Cup. So he put down a few bucks on it. He ended up putting $400 on the Blues to win the Stanley Cup Finals at 250-1. They are one win away from making it to the Stanley Cup Final. If they win that, he stands to win $100,000 on a $400 bet. He now has 3 options. You stick with your bet, you stick with the bet that you made, and you hope that your team ends up winning the Stanley Cup. Another one, you can go on PropSwap, which is a website where other people will bid for your prop bets. He could get $24,000 for it right now.
Is that a real thing?
It's a real thing.
I gotta check
that out.
His final
option is he could hedge that bet and ultimately put down a bunch of money on the Bruins to potentially get the big payout either way. If you were this man, you've got $100,000 as your payout if you win it straight up with the Blues. You've got $24,000 right now today if you sell that prop to somebody else, or you hedge your bet, but you got to have a lot of money to be able to put down on that. What would you guys go with?
I'm hedging the bet. I could use any sort of money. I'm definitely hedging the bet.
Yeah, I mean, you hedge the bet to ensure that you make more than $24,000. I mean, if
you just got to lay a lot. Like, you're going to have to lay a lot of – you've got to have, like, $20,000 to be able to put down on that.
Yeah, but I mean, if you know that you have a guaranteed return coming and you can't find enough people that are willing to invest in a surefire proposition, you need new friends. I would say at this point, you have a 100% business problem. If you came to me and said, it is impossible for you to lose money. Like, now we agree. It is literally impossible if you confront the money to him that you can lose. And it is,
sure.
Then yeah. I'll find a way to I will find a way to get you $30,000.
The problem, though, if you're him, now if you include other people in it, like, you got to pay those people out. Yeah. So you're not getting the full $24,000. So it would be better for you, if you're that person, to just go on PropSwap and say, here, take this prop. I'll take your $24,000. At least then it's all coming back to you.
Yeah, I'm just going to find a way to find a number bigger than $24,000 or $100,000. Like, there has to be a way that you can middle and make $45,000. Even if you got to pay out $15,000, you still came up.
Sure.
By having the interest-free loan when it comes to money. Coming up in a little bit, we will give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to Royals and Yankees. And this was the first time that it felt like Bubba Starling actually had a chance to play for the Royals. We'll talk about that in just a little bit.
Patrick Mahomes said that he thinks when the Chiefs play in Mexico City, he's going to throw the ball 100 yards, and I believe him. I don't think that's hyperbole. He says he thinks he can throw the ball 100 yards, C-Dot. I think he can. I'm curious, how far do you think you could throw an NFL football?
Probably 45, 50 yards, probably.
Are you kidding me? No,
no
way.
Chance I could throw that
talk
far.
About the unders. I don't think you could throw it 25 yards.
Yeah, I mean, we can. I mean, that's
40 or 50 yards?
That's very easy to find out. If you don't think I can do that, we can.
Oh, we're going to keep going. BK, how far do you think you throw an NFL football? An NFL football is huge. It's hard to get a grip on.
25, 30 yards. I don't have an arm.
See that? I didn't say a Nerf or a Vortex football.
I mean, we can.
50 yards? How far can you hit a golf ball? 400 yards?
No, I probably couldn't do that. Probably 180 to probably 220, somewhere in that range.
We got to go to Topgolf.
BK, yeah, I went to Topgolf. I was like at the net at the very back. That's as far as I can hit it. And that's like, what, 150?
Yeah. How long do you think you kick a field goal, C-Dot?
I don't think I would ever make a field goal, ever. Honestly.
You don't think you can make an extra point?
So no.
You can throw an NFL football 50 yards, but you can't kick an extra point.
Yeah, I don't think I can make an extra point.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, I think if I got 50 tries to make an extra point, I think I maybe make it one or two times. I don't think I make it very consistently.
Do you think if you got the half-court shot, like to win a car, you'd hit the rim or at least the backboard?
How many shots do I get? The first try, probably.
You get one.
Not.
You know how it goes.
Well, yeah, no, man. I mean, I physically could hit the rim. I don't think I can guarantee that every time I shoot a half-court shot, I could hit the
rim. I'm just testing your athletic feats here versus Patrick Mahomes, who thinks he can throw a football 100 yards.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say that Patrick Mahomes, he was blessed to be a lot more athletic than it.
A little bit, yeah.
Just a little bit more athletic than me. Yeah, I mean, if you want to see if I can throw a football 20 yards, yeah, I think we can set that up very easily.
I bet
easily.
It slips right out of your hand and goes 13 yards
very
and you're embarrassed
easily.
And buying me a burrito.
I mean, we work right next to a Target. I mean, if you want to go get the football and we can go outside and measure off 25 yards, I can throw the football.
In the rain.
I don't know if I can.
Oh, here we
that.
Go.
I don't
the excuses. All
I mean,
right.
In the rain. I mean, do I get those heavy duty $150 Nike gloves?
Yeah, whatever gloves you want, bro. You ain't throwing an NFL football 50 yards. That's ridiculous.
I mean, it is going to get warm again at some point. You know that, right?
Like, is that
at,
right?
At some point, it's going to stop raining, and we could go outside and test this theory.
We will.
I don't think I can do it.
Yeah, we will.
I'm looking forward to doing it. Coming up in a little bit, we'll transition and talk a little bit of Royals. But first, pop quiz.
Stand by, going to air. Five, four, three.
Pop quiz.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
The pop quiz is presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. The winner gets a pair of tickets to 610 Saturday as the Royals take on the New York Yankees. Today's pop quiz is a movie. Hit it, BK.
Bill, turn left here toward that farm.
You sure about that?
Yeah. Trust me, rabbit is good, rabbit is wise.
This is a field rabbit.
I know. Keep going. Beyond it. Right through that brush.
If you know what movie that is, be calling number 6 to 913-576-7610. Coming up in 2 minutes, this certainly felt like the first time that Bubba Starling could actually play for the Royals. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.